Hello, I'm Malcolm Brown, Director of the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative, and welcome to this ELI podcast. Our topic today is intelligent tutoring. My guest is Professor Ken Kettinger, who is with the Human-Computer Interaction Institute at Carnegie Mellon University. Ken served as one of our content experts for our Seven Things issue on this topic. Welcome, Ken.
Thanks for inviting me, Malcolm.
You bet. So I guess our first question might be this. How would you define an intelligent tutoring system?
Well, an intelligent tutoring system is a computer-based personalized tutor or teacher, and it can adapt to individual students' needs by incorporating AI or artificial intelligence technology to do that adaptation.
All right. So in the Seven Things issue, we wrote, quote, intelligent systems can interpret complex student responses and can learn as they operate. Could you perhaps give us a sense of how complex this can get and how much can these systems learn?
Yeah, well, systems have been built for things like physics problem solving, where the complexity goes into drawing a free body diagram of a problem situation, and then annotating that with variables and writing equations. And that's a pretty complex process, multiple ways to solve a problem like that. And intelligent tutors have, first and foremost, the ability to adapt to that variation in student problem solving, including the complexity that comes from novice students making surprising, unusual, perhaps, errors. As it turns out, the errors students make often do have commonalities, so part of the smarts in building one of these systems is recognizing those kinds of common errors and incorporating that into the models that are going to track that kind of complexity. Following a student writing a computer program is another complex area that intelligent tutors have been built for, or even writing a math proof, like a geometry proof. You also asked about how they can learn as they operate, and they learn primarily about students' strengths and weaknesses, both in the domain area, like what do they know about physics and physics problem solving, and what don't they know, and that's used then to adapt so that students aren't wasting time working on problems and in activities they already know how to do, and they get instruction then that's focused on what they don't want to do. But as these systems have been advancing, they're also learning not just about what a student knows in the domain content, but about the student's learning skills and even maybe about their interests and motivations. And so there are different layers of adaptation that are possible through that kind of learning about a student as a person.
Okay, thank you. Another question here is that some people might be looking for these intelligent tutors to actually replace human teaching assistants and human coaches, especially in contexts like MOOCs, where it is too expensive to provide thousands of students with individualized academic assistance. Do you think that this is a reasonable expectation? If not, what role might such systems play in MOOCs and other large-scale educational contexts?
Yeah, I guess we'll replace is a tricky word. Certainly in our applications in schools and K-12 schools, we've thought of them as enhancing the human's role. And I think that's true in the MOOC context too. But it is the case that one-on-one attention is very powerful for learning, and you just can't afford to have every student have a personal tutor for every moment of their learning experience. And so the intelligent tutors indeed can be provide that kind of support and scaling of aspects of what a good human tutor could do in the context of a MOOC. And I think that kind of backdrop support is critical. In these MOOCs today, the best students are succeeding, but the students who are coming in with maybe holes in their background, they need adaptive assistance that's going to kind of, find out where their holes are in their knowledge and help fill those in. And an intelligent tutor can provide that kind of assistance.
Would you say that currently there is good research being done on how effective such tutors are for promoting and facilitating learning?
Yeah, well, there's been lots of studies like that. And going back to some of our earliest work where we compared the use of an intelligent tutor as a significant part of an algebra course to an algebra course as usual, you know, with regular paper-based homework and so forth. So, yeah, those studies look then to see at end-of-course performance our students learning how to do problem-solving better, and we saw really dramatic effects on their ability to understand and apply algebra in real-world context, but also significant effects on their standardized test results. That kind of research has been going on. We did a study like this in the early 90s, but there just was another report from Rand Corporation, a much bigger study across many schools and school districts showing effects of intelligent tutors and enhancing student learning. But if I may, you know, another part of that research now today is, you know, it's not so much do intelligent tutors work better. I think the really important thing is how do you design a system to work well? And so there have been lots of experiments at looking at features of intelligent tutors and what features are most beneficial. You know, it's not like in medicine you say, you know, taking a pill is always better. It has to be done for the right reason and at the right time. And similarly here, the adaptations that we build in these systems, you know, can be understood and improved upon by comparing them against systems without those adaptations to see if they really do make learning more efficient or effective or enjoyable for students.
Ken, where do you see this going over the next 2 or 3 years, if we could ask you to prognosticate? How intelligent do you think these tutors might become, and how widespread their use?
Well, I think that, you know, what's going to happen is they're going to be increasingly a part of the online learning landscape. They're already there in various forms, but, you know, they're going to be there. I think maybe this will take more like 5 years, but at some point, you know, a kid's going to be online interacting with some kind of environment. They might think they're in an educational game, but behind the scenes, there'll be intelligent tutoring capabilities that are adapting, say, the challenges that they're getting in that educational game or simulation environment. In a way that, you know, like in Google, you don't necessarily know what that adaptation algorithm's changing your search rankings is doing, but it's there and it's making the experience more personally effective for you. And similarly, that we'll increasingly see that in online resources, you know, Khan Academy, the MOOCs, and even too, you know, we're seeing in the school situation that we're moving away from paper-based textbooks to more online interactive experiences where this kind of technology can be incorporated to make the students' experience much, you know, more directed at their individual needs. So sky's the limit is what I think in the next 2 or 3 years we're going to see these tutors all over the place.
And Ken, in the issue, we described the way these work, and in that we talk about an exercise, say in math or science, being broken down into sequential process-based steps, and that's what really helps the tutor be able to coach the student along. So again, now the question is, would these type of systems be applicable in disciplines that cannot be or are harder to divide into such a nice sequence of steps, say like in the humanities?
Yeah, one of our grad students did a really nice example of a tutor in as part of a French course on a unit on French culture, and she embedded the tutor in the context of videos that had already been used in the course, but instead of watching the whole video and then waiting to have a class discussion, that would kind of often be not as structured as the professor wanted, she built a tutor that would kind of jump in during segments of the video and ask, you know, very specifically designed prompting questions about interpreting the cultural interactions that were happening in this video. It's probably not the most intelligent in tutoring system in that it wasn't super sophisticated AI technology to make this work, but it was quite adaptive and quite specifically designed to provide kind of learn by doing support rather than passive learning, but very interactive learning. So that's one example. We've seen tutors built in language learning domains. Now, as natural language technologies advance, one of my colleagues has been quite innovative in creating systems, tutoring systems that participate in a chat dialogue between students who are trying to, you know, learn something and collaboratively solve a problem, where the tutor will essentially understand aspects of that chat and jump in to give help in those kinds of interactions. And so that kind of language-based interaction can be effective, I think, in really a broad range of courses. I think the challenge is to help the instructors think about what it is they're really after in a humanities course. You know, are there, say, like skills in history for interpreting and making inferences about a historical event, let's say? And, you know, and then you can build a kind of structured reasoning process into the tutor that can support that kind of learning.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for taking time to join us for this podcast today.
Very happy to do it, Malcolm.
And thanks to all of you for listening. Please don't forget to check out the ELI's 7 Things You Should Know About July issue on this topic. It's available for downloading by anyone at the ELI website. Thank you.